Hi, hello, welcome. I am Luana Parker and I am the host for VAG. And we hit a milestone today, so I am truly excited about today's show. I'm going to talk about a new book today. I just intended to do one on self-help, one about the power of your subconscious mind. However, I didn't finish it, so let me finish it before I start talking about it. But today, I want you to know how excited I am because this is the fourth episode. And for me, this is a milestone, so I am going to celebrate today. But before I tell you how I'm going to celebrate, let me tell you who's sponsoring us, and that is California Cover-Ups. So excited. This is another outfit. And California Cover-Ups. Can't see the whole thing, but it is truly beautiful. It's lightweight, just the thing for today and my celebration. I originally bought it for Christmas because of the green that was in it. Unfortunately, she had sold out of the red, so I settled for the green, but that's okay because I like green too. Anyways, beautiful. And if you want to know more about the outstanding outfits that she has over at California Cover-Ups, you can find out by contacting her at Terralena A. That's Terralenaa at gmail.com. Again, Terralenaa at gmail.com. She's got all kinds of fabulous things over there, so you want to check those out. We're also sponsored by Beauty by Luana. That's me, where I deal with the skincare. So if you're having a problem with complexion, or you just want to improve, because we all want to look our best, especially as we get older. The older I get, the more I want to look good. Probably more now than I did when I was younger. At any rate, I work with skincare. And we have some beautiful products. I'd love to share those with you. And you can reach me by emailing me at lwreparkat gmail.com. That's lwreparkat gmail.com. And yes, it is a play on my last name. So today, I'm celebrating. Now, I don't have the real thing, champagne. This is apple cider. The name is not showing. Well, it's apple cider. I would not drink alcohol while talking about my favorite subject books and while I am recording and speaking with you. I do like champagne, and I make it my business to always have champagne for New Year's. Even if I don't get any the rest of the year, I have to have it at that time. So, I am going to toast myself because I have made my fourth episode of BAG. An authors group, they're so excited. And I have a glass that I bought for the turn of the century. Again, you can't see the writing, but it says, celebrate 2000. Yes, I only bought two. I should have bought more, just in case something should happen. But I'm very careful with those glasses. I keep them put away, so hopefully nothing will happen to them. Okay, I did a dumb thing. I left the opener in the other room. Oh, well, I guess I'll have to toast this after the show. Can't get up and leave now, and since I'm the only one here, I don't want to leave you hanging. And I'm not starting the show over. Just feeling too good to do that. I might ruin the mood. However, I am real excited about today. So today I am going to talk about a different book. In fact, this book was published in 2015. And it was the second time that I was in a book. There's actually 21 authors in this book, and it's called Igniting the Vision, 21 Stories of powerful, overcoming, transforming, and triumphant women. This book was published by Shea Shasinga, and I was really thrilled to be in it. However, we're not going to talk about me today. I'm just going to read some of the chapters in this book to you. I'll select two or three authors and just read maybe the first chapter, depending on how long they are, or maybe just two or three paragraphs from several authors to kind of stoke your curiosity about the book. I remember how excited we all were when this book came out, and we couldn't wait to get our hands on our copies of it. And they had the book launch. Oh my gosh, it was just beautiful. All these people who came out to see us. And each one of us got the opportunity to go up front on stage to share a little bit about the book, our portion of the book that we wrote and why we wrote it. Each person had a specific reason, but there are some remarkable stories in this book. And if you have not gotten a copy of it yet, please email me again, lwreparak@gmail.com. I'll be happy to check on that for you. I'm not sure if the book is still in print, but I can contact Shea and find out if it is. And if it is, you should get a copy of it. And if it's not in print, maybe some of the authors still have a copy or two that they don't mind selling. Sold all of mine except for two, and I'm holding on to those two, not letting them go. So I can't help you. My thing is that you really miss it if you don't have a copy of it. So I'm not going to mention any of the authors' names for the simple reason I did not have the opportunity to contact. In fact, I'm not even sure how to contact most of them, because I'm sure if like myself, my contact information in here is no longer valid. It's changed. And it could be the same for others. I don't know. At any rate, it is a great book. So many ladies went through some horrific things, but they survived them. And they were able to tell their stories. And in telling their stories, I hope that it helps someone out there who's listening today. So let's get started. The first author here, I'm going to read just maybe the first page or so of what she's wrote. And it's called From Pistols to Purpose. The memories are vivid. The aroma of chicken and dumpling came from the stove as the time approached for our family to get together for the evening meal. The 2x4 resting on top of the avocado green refrigerator was a stark reminder I had better unload the dishwasher and get the table set before my stepmother made me climb up the stool and retrieve that ugly piece of wooden discipline. The sting of the board on bare skin was not so bad, but the welts on the back of my thighs and radiating heat still frequent my memories decades later. I was not intimidated by a 2x4 piece of wood, regardless of any welts it inflicted. It was invincible. As a child, I was afraid of nothing. I could beat up any boy on the playground, and it was well known throughout the neighborhood. Consequences for my behavior were inedible, but did nothing to dissuade me from doing whatever I wanted. After all, I would receive frequent beatings from my stepmother, whether or not I did anything wrong. So rebellion seemed the only way to assert any control over my painful existence. Rebellious, stubborn, and controversial. These were my survival tools. Obnoxious behavior brought me a sense of freedom, and watching others react in fear left me feeling that I was the one in charge. I reveled in being unpredictable and in the power of catching strangers off guard. I randomly walked up to people on the street, crudely invading them with the enjoyable laughter of my friends and rendering my victims speechless. No one expected the boundaries I defiantly crossed or the actions I took at the expense of others. In my circle of so-called friends, I fought the meanest guy and climbed up the highest heights. I was stealing, lying, biting, and intimidating to whatever degree that would create the biggest shock value of my witnesses. My stepmother was the one who beat me physically and emotionally, inflicting her abuse on a routine basis. It was her son who sexually assaulted me. She was the same woman who introduced me to church, and it was a man from her group of church friends who took the freedom to warm his hands inside my shirt one cold night at camp as I lie sleeping. As hard as it was for me to say, my stepmother introduced me to Jesus. What a rough beginning for a child. I hope to find out the rest and how it ends. You're going to have to buy this book. You know, I think of the times when I was growing up as a kid. And I remember asking my mom one time why she didn't get married again. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but my mother had 7 girls and 1 boy. And she said, as long as we were at home, she would not remarry because she had heard too many stories of what stepfathers do to their daughters. So she wouldn't put a man over us for that reason. I'm so thankful for that because I've heard so many horror stories about what happens to young girls when stepfathers or boyfriends are introduced. In fact, my mother did have a couple of boyfriends who attempted to talk to me, but I don't know. No one had told me, but I just knew those things were wrong, and I didn't go for it. I think I was about 15 when the first time one of her boyfriends tried to talk to me, and I let him know quickly that if he said anything to me again, I would let my mother know. My mother's from the South. And in those days, I don't know about today, but in those days, men didn't mess with women from the South because they especially if they were from Louisiana, they believed they had voodoo that they could use and harm them. So he never bothered me again. I'm thankful for that. But when I was an adult, I was 18, 19 years old, and she had a different boyfriend at that time. And he tried talking to me and telling me what he could do and whatnot. And we had grown up, or at least I had a set of values that I strongly believed in then and I still believe in today. And that's that you don't mess with your sisters or your moms or your friends, men. They're off limits. Whether they're their boyfriend, married to them, or whatever, they're off limits. And so I just let her know I didn't play those type of games. He tried talking a couple other times, but he finally got the message, and I had no problems with him. It's kind of sad how men would act. Some people would say, well, that's just the way a man is. Terrible excuse. At any rate, I thank the Lord that I didn't experience what I have heard of women, young girls are having to experience horrible situations. And it's when I hear stories like that, that I am truly thankful for the Lord for being there and watching over me, or having his angels watch over me, whatever the case was, because it could have been a different story. Okay, well, this next author, I want to share a little bit about her story in the book. This one is, I chose this one because she came here from another country. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to come here speaking one language and then having to learn another language. She begins it with a quote. But before I read the quote, the title of her story is called Broken to Brilliance, Lessons for Overcoming Life's Hardest Challenges and Achieving Greatness. And she's done that today. I'm happy to say I know this particular person, and I've seen how she has grown over the since we appeared in this book. So I'm happy for her and excited that she's made these changes in her life. So the quote that she begins with, life lessons are not journeys traveled in straight lines, but a crossroads formed years and miles apart. And this is by Gina Greenlee. Her story starts, His grace has infused my every waking moment, even in my unknowing. Now in my knowing, I rise, stand on my story, and write for his glory. My journey to writing this chapter is one of exhilaration. I invite you to open your heart to join me to stroll down the memory lane of my journey within, encouraged to weather the storms of my humble beginnings in America. Coming to America, I was looking forward to the best that life had to offer, only to have my dreams shattered and almost taken away by a false sense of reality. I was looking forward to the best that life had to offer, only to have my dream. I'm sorry, rereading here. Focusing on what matters most, I was determined to achieve success despite all life challenges along the way. Although the size of my scar may differ from yours, the size does not diminish the pain each person with a scar has endured. While my life experiences cannot be summed up in a single chapter, my hope is that learning of them will help others gain the courage to weather their storms and be assured that spring always comes after every winter. I recognize the events that got me to write this chapter have been divinely orchestrated. You know what? Your journey is no different. The universe is nudging you to awaken and listen to the whispers of your heart. If you are anything like me, you have been on a quest to solve the puzzle of your experience. I pray that sharing parts of my life journey will offer you the same life lessons. I was born and raised in Nigeria in an average middle-class family. Nigeria is one of the 16 countries in West Africa, about twice the size of the state of California. I arrived in this world as the first child of two loving and caring parents. I was showered with unconditional love, tempered with discipline. Fast forward to my life after college, I worked as an educator in a primary school. Life was good. I had my friends, family, and extended family. The idea of getting married was alluring and expected by society. Most parents look forward to their children getting married, and my parents were no exception. When an opportunity presented itself to be married to a man named Jesse, I welcomed the idea. Jesse and I knew each other before he traveled to the United States for further studies. As the time drew close to join Jesse in America, I was torn between leaving behind the only life I knew and exploring this new phase life called marriage. Choosing the latter was bittersweet. There I was waiting to board my flight, apprehensive, but also excited. It was the first time I would be traveling out of the country. Once the aircraft door closed and the gate was locked, tears rolled down my cheeks. I was not sure when I would see my family again. I was on my way to California to begin a new life as a wife. After about a 16-hour nonstop flight, I arrived in the United States of America. I was greeted by fall weather. The weather was cold, coming from a warm climate. The frizzing of the fall season upon my arrival was not welcomed, to say the least. Jesse picked me up from the airport and we went to his apartment. In the weeks to follow, I observed he never introduced me to his friends with any title except as a visitor. At first, I didn't think anything was wrong with his actions. Then about 4 months after my arrival, Jesse announced that he would like me to visit Nigeria. These were not discussions of a reason for his sudden decision. At first, I thought his decision was odd, especially since we had not had any fight or disagreement of any kind. Jesse had arranged for me to stop over and visit a relative before traveling back to Nigeria. He dropped me off at the airport. I boarded my flight and he left. In my naive mind, I simply thought I would be visiting home for a while and then would return to the United States, or I would remain in Nigeria until Jesse completes his studies and return home. After all, I would be delighted to see my family again. I was wrong. The truth about Jesse's intention finally came to light. He had changed his mind about the marriage. I was alluded. I was alluded to his truth while visiting my relative whom he had confided in. I needed to sort things out with Jesse. Upon returning to his apartment after my travel, my fate was sealed. To my chagrin, Jesse confirmed this unimaginable news afterwards, yet no explanation was offered for his change of mind. As I left his apartment that fated day, Jesse and I went our separate ways. Now, to learn the rest of her journey and how she handled that situation and came to be the strong woman that she is today, again, you are going to have to read the book. The book is called Igniting the Vision. 21 stories of powerful, overcoming, transforming, and triumphant women. Contact me at lwreparkk@gmail.com if you would like to get a copy of this book. I'll be happy to put you in touch with Shea, or she may have to order them. I'm not sure because this book is now 5 years old, and I don't know if she had continued having them listed. So, before closing, I just want to share a poem that I wrote to go along with the story that I included in this book. I'm closing out with a poem entitled, I Was Only 8 or 9. I was only 8 or 9. I sat there not knowing what to do. She talked and talked with tears rolling down her face, sometimes so choked up I could not make out what she said. I was only 8 or 9. I did not know what to say. I listened as I felt helpless to help. She continued to talk, and I continued to listen. After a while, I realized there were no tears. Her voice and words were clearer. She had a look I did not understand. I was only 8 or 9. It would be years later when I understood that look. She had come to a decision within herself, with quiet determination, her decision made. I was only 8 or 9. I didn't understand. The man we called dad, and she called husband, had chosen to leave us, to be father and husband to another family. I was only 8 or 9. I believe I said or did something wrong, or maybe I was not pretty enough, and caused my father to leave. After all, I had asked God for an older brother. With my father's new family, I now had one, although it would be 2 years before I learned this. My mother said not to worry. She would find a way for us to survive. She didn't need a man that didn't want her to make it. She had God, he would provide, but I was only 8 or 9, and I didn't understand. Later, when alone in bed, I begged God to return my father, but my prayers went unanswered. It would be 2 years before I saw him again. He tried to explain it wasn't my fault. It just wasn't meant to be. And although he still loved us, he could only see us on visits. I was only 8 or 9, and I didn't understand. This poem was put in this book to go along with the story that I wrote of my mother, who I consider a very strong and determined woman. She was left with a house full of kids. It would have been easy for her to walk off and put us on the state and say, I have no way to take care of them. But she didn't do that. She struggled, and we all struggled with her. But when I think back on those memories, while at the time they seemed hard and it seemed that we were without things that others had, now I can look back and they seem like they were great. And I wouldn't change them for nothing in the world, because those struggles, the things we went through, are the very things that helped me become the woman I am today. Now, I had my problems, not being the pretty one in the family, and having, if you haven't noticed, the left side of my face is weaker than the right. That's because I had Bell palsy on the side of my face as a baby. So this side is bigger, my mouth is twisted, this eye is weak, it closes, it waters, and as a child, I was very self-conscious about it. Growing up, I really had very low self-esteem, and I can't really say if it was because of what anybody else did or said to me, although kids did tease me about that. But even though they teased, I don't really think they did it in a mean, bullying way when I think about it now. Back then, I kind of thought, well, it hurt. That's perfectly truthful. But I'm glad of some of the things that I went through, because it helped to make me who I am today. I still work with problems on the self-esteem part. And that comes and goes, as I'm sure it does with most people. And some it may take longer than others, but it is something that we can work on and improve. At any rate, being able to write this story was great for me. It was the second time I wrote something that got published, and I'm real excited about that. The first time was a short story I wrote, and it was published in a book in which I won the contest. So I was one of 10 people who were chosen to be published. And yes, I am talking a little about me. That's because I want people to get a chance to know who I am. I don't do a lot of talking, so not many people know or understand me. And I hope over the coming weeks and months that will change. That book was published in Australia, so I get to say I'm an award-winning international author. I'm also an international bestseller because I'm in another book. Anyway, this is our show for today. Sorry I didn't get a chance to share my apple cider with you, but I am going to still have my glass of apple cider when I close out the show. I'm so super excited about being here with you. I hope you enjoyed the readings that I shared with you. Just a couple of stories I selected to share some of the troubling times that they went through and hopefully stimulate your sponsor to want to find out what happened. How did they handle this situation? Because they did. And they came out on the winning side. And you may be going through some of those same problems that the ladies in these books went through. I wish I could get it to show better. There are 21 beautiful women on here, and I'm including myself in that count. 21 beautiful women who shared their heartbreaks, their abuses, their hurts, the trials and troubles and tribulations and things that they had to go through in order to get to where they are today. And need to read them because they may be of some help to you. And anyway, this is BAG. So happy to have you here with us on this Sunday afternoon. I'm glad you decided to take a few minutes out of your day to spend it with me. Now, if you know someone who has written a book, or perhaps you've written a book or want to write a book or thinking about writing a book, contact me again, lwreparkk@gmail.com. That's lwreparkk@gmail.com. And let me know, and we'll get you here on the program. This show is not about me, it's about you, and hoping that I can help to encourage you to want to read more. Reading is the thing that really helped me a lot in life, and it transported me to so many places, and I had the opportunity to experience so many things simply by reading a book. And I owe that to my grandfather, who encouraged me to read, and I am so glad that he did, because I've had a terrific life through books. You can't beat that. Anyway, again, our show today is sponsored by California Cover-Ups. This beautiful top that I'm wearing is one of many of the lightweight outfits that Tara Lena has, and you can reach her at Tara Lena A. That's TerriLenaA at gmail.com. And make an appointment with her to see some of the beautiful outfits that she has, some gorgeous outfits. And I spent a lot of money with her, but it's well worth it, because one of my weaknesses, besides books, is wearing beautiful clothes. And I love the things that she has. So check her out. Again, Tara Lena A, TerriLena at gmail.com. And if you want to have your complexion look the best, to improve and enhance on what you already have, because we are all uniquely beautiful in our own way. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Contact me. And again, lwreparkk@gmail.com. And I will be happy to help you. All right. So with that, that's it for today. We'll be back again next week. And that will be this exciting adventure. I haven't decided what book I want to share with you this time. Might be a self-help, could be another self-published book, could be a romance. I haven't decided, but whatever it is, you can bet you're going to enjoy. So long. Until next week, please stay safe and keep the faith.